Okay, can you tell me your name?
Sure, it's Alan St. Pierre, the executive director, Normal.
Okay, can I record this?
Sure.
And put it on the internet?
Yep.
All right. So what are your thoughts on the recent raids?
The raids in California specifically?
The raids all over the nation of medical marijuana dispensaries and facilities.
Well, most of them have been in California, and in many respects they're not a big surprise considering that most of these dispensaries and cultivation centers are in violation of federal law and always have been. So the only question was the administration going to enforce federal law or not enforce federal law? And notably, the concentration in California is likely because it is the state with the least amount of skin in the game, or better said, it's the state with the least amount of state control and financial interest in the medical marijuana industry. And an example to the contrary would be states like New Mexico and Colorado and Maine. All of those states, individuals grow and sell medical marijuana, and there's virtually little or no raids or harassment from the federal government in those areas. And one could argue it's because the state is the player in the game. The state is making millions of dollars off of licensing fees for medical cannabis, for taxation purposes, for licensing fees for the cultivation centers and testing centers. So the raids are principally in California because the state has chosen to date not to actually pass any laws that would make the state a party to the industry. So it allows for the government, the federal government, to go into California and really run amok because the local governments are not partners in medical cannabis, largely speaking.
Okay. That was a really, really good answer. Another issue, or another really aspect of this issue, is at the beginning of his, or during his presidential campaign, Obama seemed like he was going to go soft on marijuana, or medical marijuana especially. But now he's got over 170 raids under his belt as far as the Justice Department is concerned. And so what are your thoughts on his alleged flip-flop?
Oh, he's flip-flop. There's no doubt about that. He's flip-flopped twice substantively on the issue of marijuana. At first, his flip-flop was on decriminalization as a candidate early in the process, and certainly as a sitting senator from Illinois, when he was giving lectures or speaking at local universities like Northwestern, Loyola, University of Chicago. He was asked, as most politicians are, by college students about their views on marijuana or the drug war in general. And one can simply go to the lovely intertubes of Google and see, to this day, Mr. Obama give articulate, reasoned answers to students on why he supported decriminalizing marijuana in general. And then, near the height of his primary election with Mrs. Clinton, when it was not clear who was going to win, the Washington Times, which is one of the more conservative newspapers in the country, contacted Obama's staff and indicated that they were going to be running a story on how they had seen these internet videos of Obama and other things he had written and said previously, including what he wrote in his book about his own marijuana use, to basically write a piece claiming that he smoked marijuana and now, as a presidential candidate, he supports decriminalization. And it was at that opportunity that the Obama campaign team came out and said, no, he does not support the decriminalization of marijuana, which was a totally, starkly different answer than what he'd been providing for the previous years. So that was the first flip on the flop. More to your question regarding medical marijuana, it's hard not to detect the flip-flop because it's pretty profound, and as I alluded to in the first answer, it's also reasonably understandable from a pragmatic political point of view. So what's notable is going into that election, you have all the Republican candidates except for Dr. Paul, when asked, are you in favor of this soft reform known as medical access? 75% of the public support medical access to marijuana. So all of the Republicans said no, except for Dr. Paul. On the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, there was maybe 10 at its peak that were running for president back then, Dennis Kucinich, Mrs. Clinton, Senator Dodd, Obama, et cetera, et cetera. To a person, they agreed that marijuana should be available for medical purposes, but without ever really articulating what does that mean and how would that work. But at least between the two parties, in this duopoly we have, the Democrats favored some degree of reform, the Republicans and their standard bearers did not. And of course we know out of the history of this, Obama breaks out of a pack and he wins. And you're correct. When he gets into office, 2 weeks into being in office, which is rather extraordinary to actually be dealing with this issue so early on, to have, there were raids that were still going on, kind of left over from the Bush administration, and even though there was no new sitting attorney general, and the president had only been in power 2 weeks, somebody on his staff was interviewed by the LA Times, and when asked, well, wait a minute, aren't you guys going to be doing something different on medical marijuana now that you're elected? We keep having these raids in the Los Angeles basin. And that person from the White House press corps said, oh, yes, we will be doing something different. This president is just into office. We don't even have an attorney general named and appointed yet. So, but we will be moving in that direction. So that was interesting 2 weeks into his presidency. Then on May 20th, 2009, something that only policy wonks here at Normal and on K Street would pick up, came out, and you can look it up online, called, preemption. Just type in states preemption and executive order, May 20th, and this otherwise dry executive order that never mentions the term medical marijuana comes out, and it says to the heads of federal agencies all around the country, if you have a situation where state law is in conflict with federal law, and that state law is popularly arrived at through initiatives or the legislature, unless that conflict with the federal government is of a national security level, you're to, in our system of the states, the United States of America, you, under the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, you should be deferring to these state laws. That was really kind of interesting because that's not the traditional position of Democrats. Democrats favor the position of centralization of power and federalism. Historical Republicans in the GOP have not. They favored, quote, states' rights, where the Ninth and Tenth Amendment is broadly interpreted such that states can pretty much do whatever they want, as long as the federal, you know, it's not in violation of something really major at the federal level. And so, ironically, despite Bush administration for 8 years not invoking this tenet of modern GOPism, states' rights, a liberal Democrat, more or less, puts out a memo saying, hey, states, you can pretty much do what you want as long as it doesn't violate major national security concerns. But again, never is there a word in there about medical marijuana, but it's interpreted by many, including us at Normal, that that is the first official thing the administration does to make it clear that states have some degree of autonomy on this on the topic of medical marijuana potentially. Then, overtly, on October 19th, 2009, the Justice Department releases the first of two memos. This memo is called the Ogden Memo, O-G-D-E-N, and that is the name of the author of it. And I will just paraphrase it by simply saying pretty much what I just said. It was telling states that if you have passed medical marijuana laws, that you can implement them, and the federal government will not really be that concerned if it's for the individual, and I stress, individual use and possession and cultivation of their authorized medical marijuana. Where in that memo that it drew out some difference between federal and state law is saying that, but any groups, any entity who is selling or growing large-scale amounts of cannabis are still in violation of federal law, and we will still enforce such. But that's not how the media, that's not how opinion makers, columnists, editorial boards, that's not how they interpreted it. It was almost like a green flag had been waved, and in many states, the entrepreneurs, who we call gondrepreneurs regarding marijuana, they just simply filled the vacuum and started to try to open as many dispensaries and large-scale cultivation centers, and they did, and they exploded in Colorado, in California, and in places like Oregon, and Washington, and Montana, and Michigan, and so the federal government, then the next situation that comes up in this is the city of Oakland, in December of around 2010, passed a law that was going to give away 4 or 5 acres of land that the city owned, some abandoned land, and they were going to effectively lease it to these gondrepreneurs who were going to grow 50,000 square foot marijuana gardens, and they were going to be paying $200,000 per year for the ability to grow the marijuana in such large amounts there, and two, they were going to be giving a small percentage, maybe as much as 5% of the proceeds, to the city of Oakland. And the city passed the law, the mayor signed the law, but then the city attorney said, wait a minute, is this legal? Can we, the city of Oakland, actually be in the marijuana business by this arrangement? And so he was pretty convinced that the federal law clearly did not support this, and so he sent a memo and the law over to the federal attorney, a woman named Melinda Haag, or Haag, H-A-A-G, and so she gets it and writes him back and says, well, I think your interpretation of the law is correct, that we, the federal government, are not going to be using our resources going after individual patients who grow a little bit of marijuana or possess it, but we do not allow the large-scale production and the sale of marijuana, and we will enforce federal law. Now, this is subjectively said because there are thousands of dispensaries in the United States, and for all intents and purposes, Ms. Haag and her colleagues then were not enforcing the law. They simply were not. And so, but she wrote back to the attorney and saying, you know, your interpretation is correct, and no, the city of Oakland cannot do this. And then the next situation is July 1st of 2011 when the federal government writes the second memo called the COLE, C-O-L-E memo, which is supposed to clarify the Ogden memo from about 18 months earlier. And in essence, the memo is very similarly worded. There's almost really no change, maybe just more emphasis on certain parts of what was the existing memo, and those emphasis was on you can't grow large amounts of marijuana and sell it. That is a violation of federal law. And they reissued this out on July 1st, and a couple of different things happened. In some states, the governors and the legislatures took these memo from the federal government, and they said, oh, this is a writ to get rid of medical marijuana in our state because it's largely in violation of federal law, particularly these dispensaries and cultivation centers. So Montana and Michigan pretty much got rid of much of their medical marijuana laws because they took that memo from the federal government to say, you can't do this at all. And some other states, like Maine and New Jersey and the District of Columbia, they all got the exact same memo, and they said, we disagree. We think the Ninth and Tenth Amendment gives us the ability to do this. And even though this is in violation of federal law, and this is in violation of international treaties we've signed about not selling marijuana or allowing its cultivation, we, the citizens of New Jersey, I mean, for example, Mr. Christie is a former federal prosecutor, and he hates marijuana. He has no history of supporting it, including its medical use, at all. But interestingly, that former federal prosecutor got the same memo from his former brethren over at the Department of Justice and said, no, New Jersey legislators passed this law. I don't agree with it, but we're going to implement it. And to his credit, about 2 weeks ago, his administration put out the permits where the first five dispensaries and or cultivation centers are starting that legal process of beginning. There are governors like in Rhode Island who are supportive of medical marijuana in principle, but they believe that the federal government's saber-rattling so profound that in Rhode Island they too have a medical marijuana dispensary law, but the governor has suspended it, saying that it's in too much violation of federal law. But to his credit, he then, along with a number of other governors, have now petitioned the federal government, signing a letter saying, hey, federal government, Mr. Obama, you need to do something on medical marijuana, and our suggestion, which is a pretty simple, straightforward one, is just to reschedule it from Schedule 1, which means it really can't be used at all for medical purposes, to Schedule 2, meaning it's highly controlled, is not for recreational purposes, and only a small group of people could use it under a prescription, not a recommendation, an actual prescription, which would mean there'd have to be a legal source for it. So, with all of that, that brings us to this fall, where three or four months after that Cole memo came out, and many of these dispensaries were sent letters from these federal attorneys saying, hey, here's the Cole memo, reread it, and we're going to enforce federal law. We're not going to harass patients individually, but if you're selling marijuana or growing it and more than enough for you to smoke as an individual, and you're reselling it to others for money, then that's in violation of the law. And they told all these dispensaries that starting in late September, October, and starting in November, as you indicated, there's now been about 200 or more raids at these mainly California-based dispensaries. 40 dispensaries in Denver area have not been, well, some have been shut down, and some have had to move. What the federal government did there was they didn't come in there like they did California with, like, guns a-blazing and making people get on the ground and a true arrest situation. Instead, the federal attorney in Denver wrote to these dispensaries, for which there are 2,000 of them in the state of Colorado, and wrote to a number of them and said, we have a law on the books called Drug-Free School Zone Act, which means you can't sell or possess or distribute or cultivate drugs within 1,000 feet of a school. So even though the city of Denver and the citizens there, using their own local mores and values, looked at the zoning, they were able to decide, you know what? We're okay with medical marijuana dispensaries and cultivation centers being, say, 500 feet from a school or a catechism or a synagogue, and that's okay because we have the same amount for liquor stores, the same amount for strip clubs where people dance naked. We have the same amount for places where people shoot guns off for practice, rock and roll clubs. So they said, you know, we're going to zone marijuana with those same, what we would call here at Normal, problematic adult commerce, where you usually use local zoning laws not to necessarily ban the activity, but to zone it and therefore controls it. It's usually in parts of town where it's okay, and it's at times of the day that people say is acceptable. But the federal government pulled out a tape measure and decided that 40 or so of these dispensaries are within 1,000 feet of a catechism, a daycare center, a nursery school, whatever. And so they've written to them and said, you must either shut down or move within 60 days. Those 60 days have gone by, and apparently 10 of them had to be shut down, and 20 or 30 of them either moved or they've closed of their own accord. So that's where we're at today. That's a long-winded answer to your question about how it is that we could possibly get from Obama saying at his point of getting to be president, well, I do support people having access to medical marijuana. Well, he does, apparently, that if you can grow a small amount at home or you can buy some on the street and bring it home, then apparently he doesn't really care, and that's what they've said.
All right.